It's lovely to be back here, and it was really nice to join you, albeit briefly, for your 100-year celebration. It was great that so many people came that day. I missed all the excitement earlier in the day, but I made it for the quiz, which was a part of it at least, which was fun. Now, I love a good storm, and I found a joke about a storm. It says, "Ever since the storm started, my husband won't stop looking through the window. If it gets any worse, I'm going to have to let him in." Now, it's totally what I would do. But I love storms, like I said, and we've had some good storms recently. There was a great one earlier on this week. I think the sea, I take the dogs out in Seaford, and the sea was just raging. It was incredible to watch. But last week, on Thursday, I think it was, I was in Legoland, and at about 2 o'clock, the most amazing storm started. There was fork lightning, there was hailstones the size of mini eggs, there was, I kid you not, honestly, they were massive. And it was just incredible. The rain was just pouring when it wasn't hailstoning. It was wonderful. My eldest daughter went with her friend on an indoor ride and my husband, and they kept safe and dry. And my little one, who fears nothing, she went on a little climbing wall, you know, whilst there's like hailstones and fork lightning, and she's just climbing. I'm like, sure thing, that's fine. We'll just get wet. It's not a problem. But it was wonderful. The rain, the hailstones, the lightning, it was so spectacular. It was a real sight. And you know, all of the outdoor rides closed because obviously it wasn't safe to run them. And so the very best thing was that about an hour later or 2 hours, whatever it was when it stopped, everyone else had left the park and you could literally just walk on a ride as soon as they opened again. It was fantastic. But storms come into our lives in all sorts of ways, don't they? Things can fall apart. We can fall apart. And some storms in our lives leave us broken. Some make us think that we can't survive. Maybe our families fall apart. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our hearts that are broken. But whatever it is, we can find courage and encouragement by looking at this passage from today. You see, we find Paul as a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome on a ship, and he's about to encounter an absolutely enormous storm. He was going to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. He was falsely accused of stirring up riots amongst the Jews. They'd been at sea for a couple of weeks, and they sensed they were approaching land and that they might hit some rocks. So they dropped four anchors and prayed for daylight, is what we read. So they were not only in a storm, but it was dark and they couldn't see what was going on either. Now, this storm for Paul, both the literal actual storm that they were in and the storm that found him being falsely accused and sent to Rome to be tried by Caesar and kept prisoner, were of course not his fault. He had warned the people about the storm, the physical one. They wouldn't listen, and they were about to face the consequences. Now, I might have said I love storms, and I do, but not when I'm stuck out in them for a long time, and not when I'm not able to go and be safe and dry and watch it from a distance. Because generally speaking, storms are not great things to get caught up in, are they? Especially storms in our lives that we can't avoid. But when we remember, as Paul did, that God will never leave us, even in the storm, then that will hopefully give us the strength that we need to get through whatever storms we face. But so often, we forget that. And it's really easy to forget that. Sometimes the storm seems too rough, and we don't know how to carry on. But the first thing that we need to think about is that we shouldn't just jump ship. Sometimes we'd love nothing more than just to give up and remove ourselves from tough situations. And that's what's happening with the sailors that are with Paul. They were trying to escape on lifeboats and they were pretending to be letting down anchors as they did so. Now, Paul saw this and he told the commanding officer that they had to stay on ship, otherwise they wouldn't be saved. And it won't have felt like it at the time, but for the soldiers, it was safer to stay on the ship than it was to get in a lifeboat and venture out on their own. Sometimes we have difficulties in our work, our families, dare I say it, sometimes even in church. But so often the right thing to do is to just hold on in there and to ride the storm. It was Luke who we believe wrote the book of Acts. And you know, he always wrote with the goal of getting people to come to faith in Christ Jesus. What better goal is there? And scholars believe that Acts was written to a church going through difficult times of persecution. And if so, then Luke wrote Acts to remind these suffering Christians that even in the early church, they went through lots and lots of trials. Now, I don't know what your perception is, but so often I hear people talking about this idyllic, wonderful early church where everybody just got on well and everything was just perfect. And oh, wouldn't it be lovely if we went back to those days and people could just sit and sing Kumbaya and get on with each other. And it's interesting because we get this perception that Christians back then were somehow more saintly than they are today. But you know, there never was this golden age of the church during which there were no struggles, where there were no quarrels between believers, where there was no suffering, because that's what happened. You know, this world is a tough place to be a Christian now, and it was then. Luke's encouragement then and to us now is that just because we're suffering, it does not mean that God has abandoned us. He was still with them now, then, and he's with us now, whatever we're facing. The perils that Paul endured on the high seas, the storms that came and the winds blew, are all metaphors for the persecutions and the trials and the difficulties in the lives of the believers. Yet right in the middle of it, right in the middle of the storm, we find an image that is both comforting and utterly stunning as well. Paul and everyone were caught up in this amazing storm, this terrifying storm. I suppose they didn't think it was amazing. It would have been clear that there was no saving the ship. That ship was done for, and probably the people on it. But in the midst of that, we read that Paul was not afraid. How incredible is that? Now, some things that you read claim that Paul was short, stocky, bald-headed man with bowed legs, a big nose, and eyebrows that met in the middle. And I love that because, you know, when you think about these biblical heroes, you think that they're these amazing creatures who are just so wonderful. But actually, he wasn't apparently much to look at. So what an image we get in Acts 27 when this little man is stood up in the midst of this boat that is about to fall apart. And he assures all 276 sailors that that God is going to spare their lives. You can imagine the scene. Then, when the ship is only hours away from utter destruction, he encourages them to eat. What a strange thing to do. But of course, he knew that they were going to need some energy and some stamina if they were going to swim to shore once the ship was reduced to wood. So Paul stood before them. He took the bread, he broke it, he passed it out to the sailors. And in verse 36, Luke informs us that they were all encouraged. In the middle of this storm, Paul found it within himself to almost celebrate the Lord's Supper. Sure, it wasn't communion as we experience it now, but it will have absolutely reminded Luke's readers about when Jesus brought the bread in the upper room and that on the road to Emmaus, the room in Emmaus even, after the resurrection. It will have reminded them of Jesus's presence with them. There would have been no mistaking that the rhythm of those gestures and words. On that ship, those with eyes to see would have perceived Jesus himself in their very midst. It was him who was going to give them strength for the journey ahead. Now, throughout the Bible, the sea represents evil and chaos and destruction. And yet in the midst of this storm, we have the risen Christ who was and is a new creation. That then and still now is a reason to be encouraged. No matter how fierce things get in the world, Jesus is always with us. on the surface. Asking sailors to calm down long enough to eat seemed ridiculous. They'd all be dead soon. Why did they need to eat? But Paul had already assured them that they wouldn't die. And he was right. And he knew this because he knew that God was with them. So they needed to eat. And in the same way, whatever is going on in our lives, we need to keep on in our relationship with God. That means keep on reading our Bible, keep on praying, even when we don't feel like it. And let's be honest, sometimes we don't. But in the midst of the storms that rock us in life, Christ is with us. And we're reminded of that every time we take communion, every time we meet together as a group of believers. Do you know there are so many things wrong with this world? I'm obviously not going to list them, we'd be here all day. But this planet is full of storms of one kind or another. To the world looking in, what we do as a church probably makes about as much sense as eating when your ship is going down. Is this really the best that we can offer in the face of life's storms as a response to war and terror and evil? It looks impossibly weak. But we meet to experience the risen Jesus together, to give us the strength to go back out into the world and to face whatever storms might happen. Now, I came across a quote by somebody called John A. Shedd, and it's probably my absolute most favourite quote ever because it is so logical. And as a northerner, I love things that call a spade a spade. And it says, a ship in the harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Now, I love that. I know it's not from the Bible, and I should be quoting only the Bible, obviously. But it's so encouraging. Because have you ever had a time in your life where you feel like you're going from one disaster to another, or from one hassle to another, and you wonder whether you'd be better just, you know, putting that ship in the harbour and staying safe and doing nothing, stepping whatever it is you're doing, even if that thing is something you know you're called to do. Sometimes you wonder why you put yourself into situations. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes I think, oh, why did I say I'd do that? Why did I say we should do that? Why did whatever? But you know, sometimes when I'm feeling that way, that quote pops into my head and it reminds me that sure, we could sit back in this world and do nothing. We could choose not to follow certain opportunities or do certain things. But then we wouldn't be doing what we are called to do as Christians, would we? Whatever it is that you are called to do, and you'll know what it is because you'll either be doing it already or you'll be always thinking about it, keep on doing it. Yes, life would be easier if we did nothing. I saw on your Facebook that somebody had commented to you about seeing the Palm Sunday walk. Now, I imagine that was quite difficult to arrange, you know, getting a donkey, all that kind of thing. But how wonderful. You could have easily said, oh, we'll not do it this year, let's just leave it. But how wonderful, because somebody saw that and somebody was touched by that. And that was God's presence in the world. That was a real witness to whoever that person was. So, you know, sometimes we might think, oh, but do we need to? But actually, you know, we wouldn't be fully us if we weren't doing what we believe God called us to do. Ships are safe in the harbour when they're doing nothing. Seas are dangerous places, but ships were meant to sail seas. That's their entire purpose, and it would be a complete waste if they didn't do it. It also, that quote, encourages me if I feel a bit intimidated. You know, when you're not sure that what you're doing is good enough or whether you're a bit out of your depth, remember, it's what you're called to do. You could have easily, back to that example, thought, oh, but will people really, what will people think? But you know what? How amazing that you did that. How amazing that you had that witness. How wonderful that you've got a presence right here in Wooden Dean. And sometimes we need to remember that we need to just hang on in there. And that's all that's needed sometimes when times are tough. And so it is the same with the church. The church is called to go out into the world and to make disciples. The church globally and locally, that's its entire purpose. We all, as Christians, have a purpose, and that purpose is to tell people about the wonderful difference that Jesus makes in our lives and can make to theirs. It doesn't mean that people won't face storms if they become a Christian. It doesn't give you that magic protection or some special barrier. We know that's not the case. But it does mean that in the middle of those storms, we can remember ourselves and remind other people that Jesus is right beside us. It's our job to let people know that. It's our job to tell people about the risen Jesus and all that he did for us on the cross. It's our job to remind people, and perhaps my job to remind you, that we don't need to feel like we don't belong because we do. We don't need to feel like we don't matter because we do. We don't need to face the storms of life alone because you have been brought together as a group of people to encourage each other and to support one another and to guide each other through. And that is a wonderful thing. And that group of people, this group of people, you're here to travel with each other, to face storms together and to help each other. But you know, there are storms that sometimes we just can't swim because they're too much for us to handle. And those times, we're holding on to the what little is left to stop us from drowning. The passage from Acts says, the rest who could not swim got on planks, boards and broken pieces of the ship, and that helped them to shore. Sometimes people have been brutally hurt by a storm that left not much more than broken pieces. Sometimes we have been damaged so badly that we feel that we are worthless. But here is a reminder to hold on to those broken pieces, and that's the way you can survive. If those on the ship didn't have those broken pieces, they would have drowned. So whether you are currently in a storm, whether you're still recovering from one, hold on to whatever bit of joy, strength, love, and faith that you have left. Thank God for those broken pieces that you still have. And remember that God can use broken pieces because he has a way of making the broken usable. God used a man named Moses, whose speech was broken, to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery. Broken, but usable. He raised up a woman by the name of Esther, who came from a broken home. The Bible says that her parents had died, but her cousin Mordecai raised her as his daughter. Esther became queen and was used by God to save her people. Broken, but usable. Jesus used a broken woman from Samaria that had five husbands to spread the gospel. Again, broken, but usable. He took five loaves of bread and two fish and broke it and fed over 5,000 people and had 12 baskets left over. Jesus' broken skin spilled blood on the cross, but was used to bring salvation to the world. God can take the broken bits of our lives and use them for his glory. God can take the most difficult circumstances and change them around. And he can use people like you and people like me to tell others about him and share the good news with those around them. So whatever storms you're facing, whether the big storms, whether the little storms, whether actually they look quite spectacular, just hang on in there and remember that God is always with us and God will never leave us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that there are so many examples through the Bible of how you drew alongside people and used them for your glory. Lord, help us to know that you are with us now. Lord, whatever storms we face in our life, however difficult, help us to be there for each other and to be reminders that you are always with us and will never leave us. Amen.